This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting, February 13th, 2008.
Roll call consistently of reminding everybody to please sign in. Then we also want to get a sense of who else is here. But that'll be a little difficult with people up and about. If you guys could move together, that'd be great. I don't know whether that is Andy and so, but if you could move up at least, then we can be a little bit. Yeah, fill in the seat. Don't pretend this is a class in biology or something like that, or retorts. This is the class where everybody's opinion is of equal weight until the last minute. So, could we just make mention of who is here, who is not in the university assembly? We can start with Kevin. Kathy. Should I introduce people, or would you be willing to introduce yourself? Oh, thanks.
I was still chewing. I didn't hear your point.
Okay.
I'm Kathy Miller. I'm the captain at Cornell University.
I'm Bob Kay. I'm on the CJC and professor of international science.
I'm Kevin Klerma. I'm a law school and a member of CJC.
Okay, and Andy, I guess you're next.
Andy Cowan. I'm a third year at the law school and vice chair of the CJC.
I'm Matt Johnson Sparsic. I'm a third year at the law school. I'm the judicial codes counselor for Cornell University, and my office acts as an ex officio member of CJC.
This is
Paul. I am a second year student at the Cornell Law School.
That's Jen, right?
Ginger.
Ginger. Sorry. Great. Everybody else? Oh. So you're on.
Yeah.
Please sign in, could you? Just make sure everybody is here. Oh, yeah. And Peggy B. So, you guys are from the Sun. Pleasure to have you here. All right, we have the just one item today, and that's the president's response to the campus resolution number 8, which communicated the UA's strong enthusiasm for the revised campus code of conduct that was prepared over a period of 6 months or more by the UA committee, Codes and Judicial Committee, and this issue can be divided into two parts, one of which can be take a slightly different form than I expected. We expected that we'd have some members of the people mentioned in the committee mentioned in President Scorton's letter to be with us today, and we don't, except for Mary Beth, who is there as an advisor. We don't have, for example, any of the vice presidents or the university council here. So any area of discussion that we might have been able to engage in with them about the intent of the committee that was proposed will have to just be inferred. Our conclusions will have to just be inferred from what's in the letter. That's the only piece of information we have. So the first part of our discussion, it seems to me to be one of procedure, which is to wit is the letter and the procedure for considering revisions of the campus code of conduct recommended by the president. Is that procedure an appropriate one? And do we, as the body charged with responsibility for the code, accept that procedure as valid and wish to participate in it on the terms that have been discussed in the past week or two with members of the administration, by myself and by others. And I've drafted a resolution that I'm going to be putting before us, but before I do that, I wanted to ask if there's any other resolutions or any other substantive comments that taking the form of resolution that want to be presented. Yeah, Randy.
Yes. So I was really disappointed with President Skorton's letter, because I think what the CJC did was one of the single best, or the single best, educational experiences I've had at Cornell outside of classes. It was the closest thing I'd ever been to the Continental Congress. And I'm serious. Maybe I haven't had any experience. I changed my views. The views were well argued. Strong views were well argued. The compromises were respectful. It was a wonderful educational experience. So therefore, I thought President Skorton's letter either showed he was ignorant of the UA Charter, he was dismissive of us, but we have nobody to answer for that today, or he just wanted to usurp our power. And I'm curious what the intent was. And it would certainly have been nice if one of his representatives were here to tell us whether they were ignorant, dismissive, or wanted to usurp our power, or there was perhaps another reason. So, and especially the Jim Mingle could have lent his legal knowledge to the educational process, the educational experience of coming up with a revised code, but chose not to participate in any of the public forums. And I openly asked the vice presidents that were at the public forums to speak up and why they were supporting the Krauss version of the code. And they were silent. Absolutely silent. I stared into their eyes. They were silent. And again, from their silence, I can't tell if they were ignorant, dismissive, or just wanted to usurp our power. So I wrote this resolution. Whereas the Charter of the University states that the University Assembly has legislative authority for those aspects of the conduct of members of Cornell University now covered by the Campus Code of Conduct and the Statement of Student Rights. Whereas the Charter states that legislative actions of the UA shall be reported to the President. Whereas the Charter states that if the action is acceptable, the President will so notify the Assembly, and that the UA shall respond to any request from the President for information or reconsideration of any actions. Whereas the Charter states that any request by the President for reconsideration must be made within 30 days of notification of the original action. Whereas any action on which reconsideration has not been requested within 30 days of notification to the President shall be presumed to be approved by the President. Whereas in compliance with its charter on November 20th, 2007, the UA transmitted to the President Resolution 8, which stated that the UA enthusiastically and unanimously approved the revised code of conduct attached to the resolution and urged that it be implemented on 1 July 2008. Whereas the President's response dated December 20th, 2007 did not include either an acceptance of the resolution or a request for information or reconsideration, be resolved that Resolution 8 has been legally approved and the revised Code of Conduct shall be implemented 1st of July 2008. Be it further resolved that the President will submit any proposed changes to the revised Campus Code of Conduct to the Codes and Judicial Committee of the UA for their deliberation and approval. Be it further resolved that should the President choose to disregard the charter of the UA and usurp their legislative responsibilities to the UA, the members will resign as a consequence of their conviction that acknowledging the reality of an oligarchy is far more noble than participating in the illusion of a representative and deliberative body that has legislative authority.
All right. I wanted to ask that we keep that resolution available to us, think about it, and discuss the implications of it as far as evaluating just what the role of the UA is and what its powers are, and what we want to, how we want to stand, what stand we want to take to express our conclusions about the role of the UA, should we come to it. And I wanted to make this a complete discussion in the of the membership. That is not just Randy's view or my view or Charlie's view, but everybody's view, because what Randy is, I think, pointing to is asking is the question about us as a body, and there may be differing opinions on what our powers are amongst you folks, and we need to, in a sense, own up to we need to discuss those differences. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to present my resolution that I came up with, and that would be also on the table, though not acted upon. I don't know that that's Robert's rules, but I know we don't have a resolution that's been actually accepted to be, Randy's hasn't been, unless somebody wants to immediately say, I accept that, and we second it, and now we have to debate it. I just wanted to put two things on the table and have them be perspectives on this question of our role and what we want to do about it, and think about them together, and then deliberate, and then we'll come up with which one, maybe, or which one amended we want to go with. So the resolution I prepared, I won't read it, it's in front of you there, but I did want to give you some background to it. When we received this letter, it went first to Rodney as the person who submitted the resolution to the to the president's office, about with copies to all of us, and then went out to you shortly thereafter as the assembly as a whole. When I got my copy, my first thought was, you know, this doesn't make any sense, because that we sent a revised version for the approval of just as the Code and Judicial Committee has done for, you know, 10 years, to the President's office, presenting changes to the code, because that's the UA's responsibility given to the campus code, to the CJC. The CJC then gives it back to the UA. The UA passes and sends to the President's office. This is what we did. It happened to be a really thorough revision, but a thorough reworking. But and it was indeed in response to a report that was commissioned in part by the Codes and Judicial Committee, that is the Krauss report, and I have the letter which commissioned that reporter, asked for assistance in evaluating the current code, and that resulted in the report, and that went to the central administration, and that letter did not say, and you decide what's right, administration, after you commission it. It said, we need help because we don't have the staffing. This was a letter written three years ago, I believe it was. And that help came back in the form of the report, and one would have assumed that it would have gone to the CJC. The CJC would have assimilated, and in fact, after a period of prolonged negotiations, that's what happened. The CJC did work hard on it for about 6 months and produced this revised version, which then the UA passed. So when I received a letter from the president's office to us all, I first thought this is a mistake, something's wrong here. And I called, I actually wrote the president a letter saying, you know, this should have gone to the CJC, right? And he wrote me back saying, in fact, I've just gotten word from the council's office that there's been communications with the council's office that some kind of agreement between the CJC and the council's office is being worked out, and so I'll leave it to them. So that made me a little concerned that there was a separate kind of channel of communication about how this was going to happen. And so I took it on myself to call the council's office and ask the council what was the nature of these communications. And the council's office discussed how there was the CJC had approached him to make some kind of committee which would involve CJC members and UA members and all of the people that the president wanted to discuss all of this and work out the changes that would be necessary to respond to the president's letter that he enumerated. So with that knowledge, I called around to a number of other people and we talked about whether this would work or not. And it appeared like there could be something that might work should we make it clear that the UA's responsibility was has retained the responsibility for processing the code, for doing changes in the code, and that any report that came out of a joint committee of the sort that was being negotiated would go to the UA for its approval as a representative body of the entire campus, including large numbers of students and staff members and faculty. And so I wrote the resolution with that in mind and submitting it, or at least in conversation, to the university council, conversing with him about whether he felt that this was in consonance with what the president had in mind in his letter. And this was the liberty that I took, but I took it in order to make it possible for us to consider the option of getting a kind of middle ground between my first response, which was, there's something wrong, this should be all done through the CJC and through to the UA, and the president's response, which was, we're very close to the end and I'd like to see it done, at least at the university councils, and here's a few things we need to work out. And at the same time, I wanted to do that in a way that would bring the decision-making process back to the UA and keep that component intact, perhaps a little sullied, and perhaps inappropriately, and perhaps not with enough indignation, over the actions. On the other hand, my resolution doesn't reflect some things that the council's office asked for. And I think I bring one right up to you now, which is that the council himself be in control of the committee, that is, be the chair of the committee. And that is a joint committee of which he's chair. And I left that out purposely because I thought that that could well be, should there be representation here, something that could be discussed with the council's office. In the absence of that, we have to make a decision about what direction we want to go, whether this gives away too much of the store, whether we want to say, in fact, we are worried about process, not just, but it's not just process, because it's process about particulars in the code as well. And we want to think about who's going to be participating in decisions having to do with issues like presence of counsel at hearings
and things of that sort. If the current committee, the committee structure I proposed, the joint committee, were to go forward, there would be four or five administrators four or five CJC and UA members. It would be a balance even of that sort, with one undergraduate, one graduate student, and a couple of counselors. That is a decision the UA and the CJC has. The UA with the discussion, through the discussion with the CJC members who are here now, have a right to think about together. That is, whether that's something you want to accept or whether that doesn't affirms, it undermines, one could say, the idea of representative campus governance in this particular area where the UA has power. So with that said, I'll put this resolution out there. We can discuss, I think, at this point now, you know, what direction we want to go in, and I hope that before very long we could settle upon one or another as a possible vehicle, or perhaps come up with another one still. Can I recognize David first? Yeah.
Okay, I sent out some amendments, and the point of the amendments is to allow whatever scenario of negotiation with the administration the subgroup wants, but to avoid acknowledging the presence of a working group, which I think dilutes our own authority. And so
I have them here.
I won't read it out, but it simply says we are interested in what we will solicit and carefully consider opinions from the entire campus, including administration. But without, and that will allow whatever kinds of meetings that group wants, but without putting a precedent, saying that we have, in a sense, given some ground to the president in allowing him to have his working group. I said the same sort of thing what was it, a year and a half ago, before the president said we don't really need a working group after all. I was pushing for omitting any reference to that group.
So that would affect the be it resolved, the first one. The first be it therefore resolved would under David's formulation say that the UA establishes an ad hoc committee to formulate its response to the president, leaving out everything from there to the name Charles Walcott, Dean of Faculty Charles Walcott, and then continuing with the second resolved as is, the third resolved as is, with the addition of the following at the end, and that the views of the community, including representatives of the administration, will be solicited and carefully considered. And then, and by the way, the word working group will be struck from that third resolve as well. And then in the fourth resolve, will we be it further resolved that this ad hoc UA committee will report the results of its work to the UA, that is leaving out - president's working group. Those are the changes that David suggested. Since this is not a resolution on the table yet, we don't even need to think about whether they're friendly or not friendly amendments. I'm throwing this out as a matter of discussion. Does everybody understand the implications of those changes and want to talk about them? Yeah, Kevin.
I don't. I just a clarification. If you're just soliciting dues from other people on the campus, why can't the president have his own group rather than a joint group? Why are we going to make a joint group?
It's not a joint group. The joint group's gone.
Okay, so just the president's group, and he reports, because that group reports to the UA, and you just ignore what they say.
Which one could imagine that they could say they have done in this letter.
Okay.
Right. All right.
I have a lot of thoughts about these, and I'll try to keep it concise. The first thing I just want to point out is that Marty's resolution and Randy's resolution are not necessarily mutually exclusive. And I think there's validity to both of them in saying, we want to continue working on this. We want to continue having a legislative process. But if the executive isn't going to respect that, then what's the point? Right? I would be thrilled to serve on this joint committee, but not if we do another month or 2 months worth 2 months' worth of work, and at the end the president says, well, your work is unacceptable, as he said with the CJC's work. So I think it's important that we keep that in mind.
I'd like to solicit more opinion all across the board about what you feel is the UA's responsibilities vis-a-vis the code. I mean from the UA members. I want to hear more, because I don't want this to be just a few people that are thinking about, you know, this in principled ways, you know, having to do with the way the Constitution is, although I would hope that you guys were familiar with the Constitution, all the rest of you on the. Randy's resolution goes one step further, though. It says that if we're not doing anything, we're going to, you know, we want to disband. And I think it's something that I wanted to put to the whole UA as a whole. Do you feel, as members, that if this kind of thing goes on, where the one thing that we have legislative authority over seems to be able to be pulled out from under us, do you feel that the UA has any reason to continue? What's it for? That's what Randy's resolution asks. And I think we need to have some, you know, a little bit more, maybe 5 minutes of discussion of that, but from all the sectors of the UA, not just from the faculty members. Or,
yeah, but I can't answer that question, but I guess when I hear the idea of, it just sounds kind of antagonistic. I guess I'm trying to figure out, we really don't understand the intent of the letter from the president, or at least I don't understand the intent of why he's doing things the way he did and why he's talking about this committee. And it seems to me we're taking an approach on, you're trying to take the story away from us. We don't know that, and I'm having some trouble. I'm much more comfortable, quite honestly, with the way the business proposed versus the other one. I think there should be some more communication. And I was glad to hear that you think you're supposed to try and reach the president and not the council and so forth. You mentioned that the council and the CJC have been talking and trying to work some things out.
The council, what council?
As I used to, it was the counselor. Counselor.
Oh, the yeah, council. Oh, the university council.
University council. Yes.
Right.
You had some input on that, but from the people in the CJC, I mean, can you tell us what that conversation
can the, was? Can the CJC, can the CJC speak to that? Kathleen. Go back to the president and say, look at it.
We've got people with experience. We've got people who already looked at this. We've got people who are open to, you know, to mingle, vice presidents, whatever, doing in our conversation. But the proper procedure is, when the judicial committee looks at it, they're a committee of the UA, they follow their usual procedures, they send it to the UA, and the UA then sends it back to the president. And if we have to go through this a few times so we get something we're all in agreement on, that's the process. It always works. Why not stick to that process? So.
Any comments on that? That's yeah, Elizabeth.
But the council involved in these 6 months of discussion with the
Was not. The council did not attend any of the meetings. Yes, that's the answer.
I'm imagining, it may not be the case, that people who are new on the UA may wonder why some of us were so astounded, upset about that limited appointment. And just for a tiny bit of background, there have been a lot of big conflicts between the administration and the whole rest of the community over the past 5 or 6 years. We have hoped for a much more open and inclusive attitude to those stories. But the rest of the administration remains the same from those very autocratic and often bullying administrations of the past. And when you read that letter and see that the vice president was mentioning, and you realize you're leading to a part of that same old regime, you worry that somehow the old regime is reasserting itself, and that is that the J-Hall has absolute dictatorial power, and it doesn't matter what the charter says. And it doesn't matter, this is what bothers me so much, and I think it does all of us at the they are so wasting our time. CJC spent 6 months on this. They studied it intensely and reasonably and deliberately. And then you have that letter from Thornton saying, well, you know, we still think that maybe a rights-based model is just what you can say, but doesn't punish people really enough. And I think, okay, where are the examples of this? Where's the detail? Where is the code? Where is that passcode really gone wrong? And CJC did come up with some proposed provisions to modernize and update and rationalize those. What in the world are they disagreeing? Since their disagreements are so vague and scary in some ways, like too much fight, then you're inclined to think this is just about the existence of executive power. To hell with the rest of it. And we can spend all this time that comes out of, I know it's true, you experience students in practice. We could be learning, we could be studying, we could be doing research, we could be writing, we could be supporting all the activities of the university in this committee. Instead of which, we spend all our time at these meetings going back and forth, and in the end, as Andrew said, it's like, you know, to hell with you, we're just going to have the last word. And I kind of agree with Randy in this. It's in a very extreme measure. But if that's how they're going to treat us, then this committee really is a waste of time.
Good. I mean, that's a good statement. I want to get other people's opinions. Please. I mean, from the UA, yes, Tamara.
I want to definitely work with the opposing I would like to echo what Kathy said.
I'm sorry, speak.
I would like to echo what Kathy said, because I think despite our anger and shock maybe at how we feel that we're being treated by the president's office, giving the president the benefit of the doubt perhaps there was a misunderstanding, and rather than making an assumption about any malintention on purpose, to go back and say, you know, whereas we recognize that this is, that, you know, from the CJC to the UA back to the CJC until we have an agreement is the way it's done and has been done for our own things. I've been around for 24 years, so a long, long time. Right. To stick with what has been working and then have it go to the president in our normal procedures. And then if the president still is offensive or amendative or constitutional in the way of further suggesting that he has final say and the UA is not in a position of this legislative authority as it's already spelled out in the charter, then I think we could go back to Randy's resolution and say, I don't think that works.
I see some hands on the left. Yes.
I'm just interested to hear
purely removing a motion from the equation, how do people on the CJC feel about sports proposed changes to what you guys talked about? Would these be sort of friendly changes? Is the problem that essentially it's a problem of communication, or is Scorton actually, you know, going, you know, against you guys and what you're saying?
Kevin.
I think a nice way to view this is that there's a lot of verbiage in here that I think was a back and forth, and maybe about a back and forth, which we resolved in about an hour, except for two points. And one is doing away with the right to counsel, and the second is changing the standard of proof from clear and convincing evidence to preponderance. The standard of proof going from much more likely than not guilty than more likely than not guilty. And those two, I think we can talk forever and we'll be in agreement. Basically, the community and the CJC and the UA all were fairly adamant on those two points, and Scorton was fairly adamant on those. I think that's what it will come down to, is that back and forth is just easily track everything but those two. And those are the basic changes to the legislative model.
Now, speaking to what Tamara had to say about that, if, for example, the CJC in a very short time said, here's our response, it came to the UA, and it didn't have changes of those, in those two areas, and we sent it to the president, the president, according to the charter, has the right to veto or to interpose his interest. How that would happen is not clear to me, although he may well propose that we change the charter to include those two things. And that would come to the CJC, and the CJC would reject it, and then. But it's very complicated. But the point is, he has the right to make some changes of that sort.
Suggest some,
which then have to be processed through the normal channels, which you could say he's making here. We are rejecting them. He has a right to reject our rejection of them. I don't know, actually, I'm at a loss to figure out what would happen if he rejected our rejections.
He could just go to the Board of Trustees, with the revised codes, that can make it.
Right, with the revisions, with the revised codes, and say, these are the things I accept of the revisions, these are the things I don't, and enact this.
Some peril.
Pardon me?
At some peril.
Yeah, because it's essentially repealing the current code and putting it into one place.
Yeah. Jules.
I want to echo Kathleen and Tamara. I understand that everyone's very aggravated right now. There's been a lot of time and a lot of effort put into this new revised code. I do think it's a little too early for us just to completely say, you know what, if you reject it, we all step down. I think that's a little too intense for the moment. I think we should try to tell the president, this is the process that has been working. Let's try this again. I think it's important to at least try one more time before a stronger action is taken. I think that everyone has put so much time and effort into this. We should just try to see if we can make it happen the way it's already been set out to do and the way that have worked in the past.
Any other thoughts from other UA members?
Have I
ever spoken? Wait, I know I'm being difficult on people. Go ahead.
I think the issue here is subtlety. The resolution that the grant proposes, I don't think very subtle as I think we need to be in order to continue this process to ensure that we still have a say in this. And if we all step down, we have no say in this. And to attempt to kind of slowly push ourselves into it by saying, okay, let's try the process one more time and see what we can do. And I think that is necessary. I agree with you.
Well, before I recognize you guys, I'm sorry. I wanted to say this. If that's the sum of all the UA comments on it, and nobody else wants to say anything, and everybody has sensed that feels that everything's been said they want to, then it seems to me the consensus is moving towards accepting some version of this resolution that I proposed, but it has a change, which would be, and this is something for us to consider, do we want to, with David's amendments, which I would then accept as friendly, but it may have to go even farther, which is to say, do we want to, in fact, do away with the limited committee and just say all the whereases, and then be it therefore resolved, the UA remands
these presidents, Scorton's suggested changes to the CJC for its consideration and the normal channels of approval of consideration, and that, and then we can continue and say that further resolve the UA. The CJC will present the results of its deliberations by a certain date so that we can follow at least the timetable. I think it's reasonable to follow the timetable, but to ask the CJC to do it in that period of time. We could also put a whereas in which says that urge the CJC council to the university council to take advantage of his perpetual seat upon the CJC if you so desired. That's
and also have those vice presidents.
Oh yeah, they're all I think are all of them on the CJC, all the vice presidents mentioned.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
One is that the general way things happen, as far as I've always understood it, is when something is committed to the president consults the council office. So what he has done, getting him into a problem, is actually pretty much standard operating procedure of how we work. The only difference is that you set up a subcommittee without consulting us. If we go with what you just suggested, I think you should say that what you said about Jim Ingalls welcome to the committee, he has a standing seat on the committee, and also if by the various vice presidents who participated in the summer working groups that worked on the phone are certainly welcome to join in the CJC meeting, and our first meeting is Monday.
I want to do one thing before we do that. Is there a consensus that we can put this resolution on the table for the time being, the one mine, and then we'll do the amendments, or we can.
What about tabling? What about proposing Randy's proposal and tabling it to keep that in reserve in case? See, I don't think that this Gordon has crossed the line yet. I don't think there's a cousin Kelly, but there could be. And having that on the table and ready to be pulled out if needed, and if that information seeped down to the or up to the administration, that might be useful. So I'm wondering whether you want to have your proposal and then have it tabled, until we find out how he's going to react to the resolution 10.
Okay. I think the only way to do that is to propose it and say it's a resolution. Does anybody want to propose Randy's resolution? Move Randy's resolution.
I'll move it.
Randy moves his resolution. Is there a second?
Yes.
David seconds it. Then all in favor of... excuse me. Now it's open for debate. You can't be seconded. I don't think you can propose the tabling. You can?
Yes.
Who's the Roberts person? Can you propose tabling the resolution in seconds? Yes. All right, there's a proposal to table Randy's resolution. Second? Okay. All in favor of tabling Randy Wayne's resolution? Any opposed? Bill Liddick. Okay.
I don't agree with the logic that's put either out there. It sounds like it's kind of an underhanded threat to the university, to the administration. It sounds low funny. Let's put it under the table and just hope the administration hear about it and not be involved with the questions.
I'll mail it to them.
It's normal practice that people, members of the UA, can make resolutions when they come up. And we've had a little bit of discussion about it, and now we're taking it. And that's perfectly normal for you to consider. I don't think it looks unusual.
She's a constitutional scholar.
The process is normal. I don't disagree with anyone. It's the intent behind it.
Well,
I think we need to.
Yeah, I disagree with anything. I know that.
And I'm not
saying
like a president.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's been tabled.
and then we can ask if we want. I'll propose that putting this resolution on the table, and then we'll I'll speak about the amendments. We actually, if we amend this resolution, we won't take the friendly amendments because it'll be complete. So let's just wait. So I'd like to move this resolution. I'd like to move this resolution. Resolution number 10, resolution concerning President Davis Gross' request for reconsideration. I'll second. Any second? Second. Yeah, okay, second. And all in favor, let's have a debate. Open for debate of this. Yes?
The composition of the committee on the third day of the dog, I wonder how you came up with that. Obviously, you know the council should be there.
Alright, this is language coming directly from the President's letter. The President's letter and my conversations with the University Council, and then subsequently a letter from the President after I sent him a copy of this resolution. He wrote me back saying, send your communications to Mr. Mingle, who is in charge of seeing through the final stages, and according to what I have written in my letter. That is what the President said. So, yes. No, I understand. I'm willing to entertain. I'm willing to entertain amendments which to this motion, which follow what seem to have been emerging in the conversation about remanding the consideration to the CJC and deleting these sections of my like David's suggestion of my motion. So does anybody want to structuring a conversation like this? Then we can at least get down to the grassroots. Who wants to propose that we won't have the exact language yet, but who wants to propose deletions of the working groups and deletions, in fact, of the committee, the subcommittee. Yes?
I just have a question in general. Do we all feel like we need a resolution on this right now? Do we feel like we could just do a plan of action with the CJC? Do we feel like we need to do a resolution to send to the President or send to the administration? I mean, we're at a point right now where we could come up with something and maybe not even do a resolution and then come up within two meetings and send him something like with this, like a new revised document or something like that, like in March. I don't know. That's just
Any thoughts about that? Yes.
I mean, I think it's a respectful resolution. I mean, what we're talking about, I mean, we definitely want to address the fact that we have grievances, obviously politely and respectfully, but I think it deserves addressing.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah,
Rodney.
I have a question. We don't have to do a resolution to remand it back to the CJC, correct?
No, we don't.
Okay.
And we could always send President Scorton a letter saying, you know, it doesn't have to be in resolution format. You could always just send him a response. I don't know. That's my perspective.
Well, the difference between a response and a letter, a letter of response and a resolution is that one person usually writes the letter, and a resolution is voted on by the entire UA. And if we, as a UA body, can affirm certain things about our existence in a resolution, it makes more sense than just one person saying, would you please do this? Because it means the UA, you guys all, are behind this. And you can answer for why you did it. Yeah. And
I just have, going back to your sort of discussion about who should be in this group, a couple of comments on that point. I don't think it's a problem if we have an ad hoc committee and meet with the President's working group. I think it's too bad that these people weren't involved in the conversation earlier, because some of the concerns in the President's letter are news to me. I think it might be better to do it through the CJC, because, as Kathleen pointed out, that's sort of the way that we do things. But in terms of the question that Marty raised, is the UA giving something up if we go with this resolution as written? I don't think so. The CJC exists because the UA says we exist. The UA creates the CJC. So if the UA chooses to designate a different committee to see through the final steps of this resolution,
Well, I think going through the CJC would be better. I don't think DUA is giving anything up by creating an ad hoc committee, nor do I think that you're giving anything up by explicitly acknowledging the existence of the president's working group, because these are people whose thoughts the president is going to listen to when he decides whether to accept or veto what we do, and so I think they're thoughts that we should listen to in the process. Now, at the same time, I think it's also crucial that we have a process that ensures that our thoughts are listened to. So, the president is insistent in his letter that, for instance, he has a unilateral power to change penalty determination. I don't think that's something that could necessarily resolve in an hour of conversation. And if the purpose of the committee is just to draft language and acting that, that's not something I want to be part of. I want to be part of a legislative process, not the president's easy bake oven.
All right. I think we need UA comment on this, because this is a key matter, not CJC comment. The key matter is whether or not, I know Andrew's done CJC point, but we need to have UA comment on what should be the vehicle by which we accomplish, if any. We've had someone say that we shouldn't have any. Somebody has said we need a letter, and somebody has said that we can have this resolution as a possibility. I proposed it, so it's. I guess I'm somebody who says that. David has said that he'd like to remove the working group, and someone else has said that CJC is itself on the UA said that. But we need to talk through that, UA members. Yeah, Brandon.
Can we also remove the ad hoc committee and just essentially send it back to the CJC and say the president?
Well, that's what one proposal has been, okay. Right? So we got, I don't know, I have to write them on a board or something. We've got four or five different options about this. Yes. Well, actually, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Although I think you don't need to be able to.
Could we have attention to the...
We could definitely just go with a letter. I think that a resolution is more powerful, and especially if it's used unanimously, we can bring the brandy and then the draft and sort of like the UA is fully behind us. And I think we can send it to the CJC, it sounds like that. So we can go with the procedure.
So in other words, redrafting to have it just be the CJC, that this is a resolution, but it's a resolution saying we're going to do with this, with these changes, what is the normal procedure.
The only reason that we would have a resolution is it might have a little bit more power.
Right.
A little more back.
Did you want to say something?
I'm just, honestly, I understand we want to respond to his response to the CJC. Majority of people are very frustrated about it, and I understand that we do need to respond to it. But if we send him a resolution, he has to respond to that. And besides for finding out if his response was, like the first response to us was malintended or not, I'm kind of, I guess, confused about what else do we want to hear from him. We already know more, like, basically it sounds like we want to send it back to the CJC. We want to follow normal proceedings. So what are we expecting to hear back from if we send him a resolution other than his intent behind the first letter?
Elizabeth.
I think what we want to happen is that it goes to the CJC and the president's counsel goes there. He is, after all, the president's meeting, so he may be a very upset citizen, right? He should be there. And they can have a substantive talk about the code with, with legal issues and life issues in mind. And then the counsel, the president's chief legal advisor, could go back to him and tell him about whatever they agreed on. I'm a little concerned about this committee with people on it. We often seem to have just uppermost in their mind guarding the executive power from any infringement upon the rest of the religion. But if you have the legal counsel, he represents the government. I feel that if we had Thornton and Mingle in this room, we could all come to a reasonable conclusion in an hour. Once you get that particular committee, I'm worried about where it's going. If there's a way to suppose that he goes to the CJC, that we have the president's counsel there representing him, and he can also bring whatever the specific objections are that they have, which I don't know
right.
here, to the CJC, you can hash it out, then Mingle could go back and tell the president, and he can see if he agrees or not.
Well, that's sort of like what Mark started. David was proposing in the sense that it would be this resolution remanding to the CJC, but it adds on the clause saying that something that urges the University Council to be a part of all those deliberations with the CJC. Bill?
I guess what I was just hearing, I didn't think I heard a resolution in there. I guess I'm kind of with Jules on why couldn't we do all those things we just talked about without a resolution? Why can't this go back to the CJC? Why can't they do the work? Why can't they invite the council if they want to? And then let's go back to the recommendations. So I'm confused about the resolution.
So why do you need a resolution?
We wouldn't know what to do. I have to.
Can I ask a question at the start?
Hold.
Yeah. If you do a resolution and go to the president, does she have veto power over a resolution, or is that just sort of a statement that here's what we're
doing? The president can express his he can say that what he doesn't like about it and send it back to us for reconsideration. We can reconsider it either through our committee set structure or directly in our chamber, and then we take action on it and send it back, and then he has the right to veto it or accept it.
Really, to send it or not to send it to the trustees, right? In other words, he can.
Yes. That's right. Or some things he can actually pass internally without sending to the trustees. But I think in this case, this would have to go to the trustees because of RAMPO.
So if you all did a resolution and went to the president and he said, no, I don't want it to go back to the CJC, and he vetoes it?
Yeah, and then Randy's resolution is always on the table.
It won't be secret.
That's good. This is part. This is stimulating the discussion. The point is that if it was vetoed, it would be as much as saying we don't believe in that committee process or the UA's actions with regard to this, and that would be something reasonable to think about in the context of Randy's resolution. Yes. Or some version thereof. Kathy.
I was thinking that it seems like you're pretty rather concerned that this will go right back to the CJC for reevaluation, whatever that means. And then what you're talking about is the vehicle by which you go, the resolution and your letter. The resolution sounds like a process thing that's going to hold up, pay for, lose it from the CJC. The letter can be signed by everybody and have the same power behind it. Yes, I agree, legislatively, resolution has more power. But having worked with the president and other committee groups and having worked with some of the people, even CJC and the development of what we came forward with, I think you'll find an interesting result. Absent the council's opinion, who weren't privy to, so we're certainly going to, as Bob was saying, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to counsel and we're not going to meet on this thing. That's the thing in this last year. The other opinions have been sought. And they're actually behind what we submitted for in the UA. You guys read what Tommy, Mary, Susan, and Charlie said. They've given their input. So we're not going to find any changes from that group absent input from the council office. Mm-hmm. So the council office has to show up to the CJC to get the president considerations brought forward. Otherwise,
I think I was the person who said that the letter wasn't as strong because it's not. But I'll agree that if we had a jointly signed letter by everybody in the CJC and we could vote on it, so that not everybody has to, you know, be in the line and sign it, like the president signing a bill, and then somebody else could say, "I reserve the opinion to violate." But that's you guys know about that. But anyway, we could vote that everybody's signature gets is behind this. And but who's going to draft that letter?
Have we decided that we're going to have a letter now?
No, we haven't. Let's propose that that's a possibility. Can we vote? Well, I guess the thing is, this is on the table. We're debating whether to have this resolution or not. We could vote it down and have a proposal for a letter. Let's keep going with this and then think about whether we had enough debate on it question can be called at any moment. In fact, it should be fairly soon. Yeah.
You know, it's just easier to deal with content in this resolution form because it sort of bullets the points we make. You could make a letter out of this without a letter in it. You know, you could just run it together and throw some bullets and so on. I don't think that type of an issue, but if we leave it for the moment as in resolution form, even if we want to convert it to a letter later, because we somehow think that softens it a bit, I for one think a resolution is a better thing because that's what you get from legislative problems, you get resolutions like this. And I think from what Marty wrote, actually expected a resolution. The resolution makes it clear what we think, what we propose. There's no way to misinterpret things. I think it's just more efficient to send it as a resolution in a letter. But at any rate, I do have, Dana has an amendment to offer, and I have an amendment to offer on the first, be it resolved, that accomplishes what some of the commission suggested, which is to send the president specified concerns, I think they haven't been really specified yet, but to send his specific concerns to the CJC with the university council there, and we add some other names so that you can justify having the other people very involved, et cetera, be present at that discussion of the president's specific concerns in a judicious way in the CJC. That preserves the legal process of the university charter. And it allows for them to make a projection plan. And if we're all reasonable people, that, you know, that might be all that's good.
Okay. Well, in resolution or... Yeah, sorry.
If we... I definitely see everyone's point in terms of the resolution. If we send... My objection is, if we send the president a resolution, he has 30 days to say no. Do we want to try to work on the, like, with on the code with the CJC and tell him, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to work on it. Like, the general counsel can be invited to a CJC meeting. It doesn't necessarily have to go through a resolution. If we send him a letter backed by the entire UA, it says, this is what we're going to do. He can't object and say, no, I don't like that.
Well, we're saying in that resolution, we will consider your objections. We want to consider your objections. Send your lawyer over here and a few other people, and let's sit down and talk about your objections and see if you can address them.
I think
he
has 30 days.
No, I don't think he does.
Bill makes the point that the CJC can very well, you know, make it clear that the council's office could be there and set up appointments in such a way that the council's office
stronger than that, I think, because I don't know what we're going to do. In Scorton's letter, he says there's one party that hasn't been spoken for, and that's the university. I don't understand what that's all about.
Well, I don't either.
Except that when he gets further
on in the discussion, there is a statement that the interests of the university.
I know, but I think if it's a clandestine kind of process or a not a rights based process, I think the university is hurt by that. And I don't understand why he doesn't think it's
right. Right.
I just want to say that Jim Mingle, the University Council, has a seat on CJC. It's not even a matter of an invitation. It's his job to be there.
Right. And that's Kathleen.
He is on the committee. I also want to, I just sent the resolution that was tabled by President Gordon, saying in the spirit of honesty, accountability, transparency, and openness. I'm sending you this proposal. I submitted that and has been tabled.
Okay. So. Kathleen.
When is CJC? Monday?
I'm sorry, what? If this resolution was turned into a letter, and I can see Jules' point, I mean, that is, if we make it a resolution that's got 30 days, why not just say, this is what's going to happen, and we were in the interest of resolving the
questions that you've raised, we'd like to urge the following. So I was thinking you could take out the whereas, and you just say, dear President Scorton, the charter of the University Assembly states it has, and so forth. And the second whereas becomes as, at its blah meaning, and then the third line take the whereas, the fourth line take, or fourth whereas, take the whereas out, and leave the ands off too, just sort of making them declarative sentences. And then you get down to the resolves, and that's what we're having, that's what we're working with now. Is anybody, what do people think about that?
Well, I'm opposed to it.
Okay.
There's something about a proposal, I don't know how to put it in legal language, but there's something performative about it, like saying that this is a process, we have approved this. It's like saying I be wed. The action of making this proposal really puts it on the table, forces a response, and is an action, whereas a letter doesn't have that same kind of force. And I think that we should fire a shot. This is polite, but it is a shot across his bow, and I think that that would be welcome and necessary. And a letter could not be an action in the same way as force him to declare himself.
Any other thoughts?
I was just looking at the UA's charter. The 30-day thing, I believe, actually comes from the Campus Code of Conduct relating to amendments to the Campus Code of Conduct. In terms of general resolutions of this assembly, all it says is that the president will expeditiously reply in writing. And I think the discussion is fixating a little bit too much on how the president might respond to a resolution versus a letter. I think either way, whether it's a resolution or a letter, the president has two essential options. He can go along with it and say, yes, I'll send Mingle to meet with the CJC, or he can say, no, we're doing this administratively. And he can take as much time or as little time as he wants to say either of those things, whether you all pass a resolution or send a letter.
Further comments?
Andy, where are you finding that?
This is UA Charter 1.7.
Yeah. Well, yes, Jonathan. Just, I'll be real brief. Again, Jonathan Sparkley, the Judicial Code Counselor at Cornell. After reading the President's letter, I was certainly really concerned about not only the process, but the substance of it. And I know that we're not really getting to the substance here tonight, but I think everyone should look at the substance of it and should be extremely concerned, and because of that, should be concerned about the process, and if anything, should err on making a stronger statement to the president about how this process is perceived, given the fact that one of the things in the code here says that the hearing board decisions will no longer be, they'll be advisory. I mean, the president can do whatever he wants. So well, there's a lot of problems in this regard, but the point is that if it's supposed to truly have a voice, and this body is the voice of this university, I would stand up for that voice, and I would err on passing a resolution rather than a letter to both. But, you know, don't be afraid to confront the president. Make him veto it or sign it or, you know, so, because this is not played out this year. It's played out in the days done and across campus, and I would, you know, rock the boat a little bit. I don't mean to, that we should be disrespectful, or that this body should act disrespectfully. So,
but I don't think you want to roll over either. I think you definitely stand up as far as this process that's extremely important. We're not talking about food options in the cafeteria. You're talking about the fundamental system that binds this community. So that's just my three
cents.
Great.
In response to that, I agree. And two things. One, I'd like some clarification about what our purpose is at this point. Because I'm hearing two different things in some of the community. And that's number one, a particular issue about how we're upset or disappointed or hopeful about how our communications with the community can both recognize and then carry out. And number two, the substance of the nature of the decisions themselves. And I will say for myself, I bring to the table here at this meeting, that I'm very upset with the fact that these two issues have not been suggested about the moving council and having this hearing be as suggested or advisory and not required and really given more authority here.
Right.
I'm very uncomfortable with just, I mean, that's not the way it works in this country.
Right.
Why would we have
to work so I understand. We wanted to keep this off of the content issue only because that's something we're going to have to deal with should it be processed out in our normal channels. And according to the resolution, the resolution I propose, whether it be with the CJC doing it or with an ad hoc committee meeting with the President's Committee or with an ad hoc committee by itself, they will all come back to the CJC for the CJC, or to the UA, for the UA's action. Okay, so that's when we talk about that. And it will be at our next meeting or the meeting thereafter, but it'll be before March. It's probably in our March meeting. That's what we're aiming for. But so we want to keep it on procedure only because in 15 minutes, I think we want to be sure to have some statement that we can write up and send the next day to the President.
I'd like to emphasize that we do make a resolution out of this, and use strong legislative language in our suggestion, recommendation, that the President send his representative to the CJC's next meeting to be more specific about his procedural case.
Okay, so I think let's do this. Whether it's a letter, we could vote on letter or resolution. That would make it easier to vote on resolution. Shall we vote on whether or not we want a resolution to have a resolution? This interposes a vote in the area. Basically, this is on the table, but we need to. If we have another kind of vote now, it would be whether or not to have a letter or to have a resolution.
Somebody should move that we
convert
this into a letter and we can vote that down.
Yes, please. Thanks. Would somebody move that we convert this into a letter? Yes, Jules moves. Any second? Rodney. Okay. Any discussion? No discussion. I call it quits. All right. All in favor of making a letter out of this and not a motion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All in favor of working this into making it a resolution, continuing it as a resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'm 7.
if it's necessary, I'm going to say if people feel really uncomfortable with the resolution, then yeah, as long as it's a letter that says essentially the same thing. As
a resolution, in order to
get
everybody
on board,
yeah.
All right.
Hold that for just a second. Can you handle that?
Can I handle what?
Well, we do a letter.
name all the members of the CJC. Of all the members of the UA, unanimously. It would be have physical signatures, or would you allow that to be a list of all the UA members and say it's unanimously signed by, unanimously approved by?
You can't say it's unanimous if it's not unanimous.
The letter.
We can't force
no,
them.
You would put all the signatures down to the people. Approved by all these following members of the CJ University Assembly.
Yeah, sure. Just not use the word unanimous.
The question is whether you want physical signatures or not, because that takes a lot of time. That's all. Okay, no physical signatures.
Well, I got a point of order question then.
Yeah.
Would the language about an ad hoc committee still be in there? Because that would probably be better
that's the next
run by
step.
Resolution.
Pardon me?
Well, we have to go over
that. That's the next step. We're having some kind of letter, it looks like. Is that fair to say? Does everybody accept?
Is it unanimous?
Who wants to move to make this unanimously that it's a letter? A strong letter with all kinds of words. All right. Next is all right. Then basically we are voting down this resolution, or at least we have to draft the letter. Pardon me?
Convert it
into the letter form. Okay. I know it's a little freewheeling. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just thinking about the letter. Correct me if I'm wrong here, anybody, about Robert's rules, but if it's a letter, I think, you know, if you delegate somebody to draft the letter, it's just a matter of collecting people's names who are in support of it.
Well, we still have to talk about some of the revision there, like the composition.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the people who want it to be a letter have to speak now about how strong it should be and put it into language that's going to go in the letter before we turn it over to somebody to draft.
If somebody's got Microsoft Word and a copy of the resolution, you can probably turn it out in about 5 minutes. Probably. Maybe wrong.
First line should start off with the first. It's take out the whereas, but that should be the starting point of the letter.
Can anybody do that?
Anyone agree?
Well, we don't need to. I mean, we just do it on a piece of paper we have in the resolution. All right, I'm going to propose that we take out the whereas in the first paragraph, the second paragraph, the third paragraph, and the fourth paragraph. We also remove the and after each of the preceding those whereases in the third, second, third, and fourth. So it will read, the first paragraph will read, the Charter of the University Assembly states that it has legislative authority over the conduct of according to the university now covered by the Campus Code of Conduct.
Period.
Second sentence. At its 14 November meeting, the University Assembly passed a revised version of the Campus Code of Conduct and on the 20th November sent it to President Davis Gordon for his comments and actions. Period.
Do you want to say to you?
Yeah. Okay,
and
you.
So you, President
Gordon.
You.
Third paragraph. On December 20th, President Gordon, you indicated your intention to communicate.
The comment, the judgment,
The comments and judgments of the senior leadership? No, of your administration?
Yeah. On December 20th, communicated your intention to communicate your senior leadership's comments and judgments concerning the recommended changes.
Well, is that acceptable to you, or you were trying to remove senior leadership, I think?
No, that's okay.
I was talking to Elizabeth.
No, that's fine.
Okay. On 20th September, you indicated your intention to communicate your
senior leadership's
comments and judgments concerning the UA's recommended changes to the campus code. Yeah. Fourth paragraph. On 4th February, you responded to the University Assembly with said comments and judgments on the revised codes indicating your acceptance of all of the University Assembly's revisions of the campus code except the following, and I've listed those there. Would that be acceptable?
They could still be put into the first one if they get the change.
I'm sorry, what?
They could be left in bullet form.
Still bullets. There's still bullet form. All right, last whereas. The University Assembly Charter stipulates that the UA shall respond to any requests from the President for information or reconsideration of any action, period. We, therefore,
propose that you send, you come, and here's a suggestion.
No, we want to talk about sending it back to the CG. We therefore have.
Well, okay, you want to say that we have a question to the meeting?
We therefore have, according to our response, our charter or our legal structure or something, or just we therefore have submitted your comments.
We're submitting your comments to the Presidential Subcommittee, and we're inviting you and your counsel to come Monday and meet with us to talk about the things.
What if we remind you that you have seats on that?
Hold on, let's stop for a second. We want to do this so that we don't have to do it several times. We therefore have submitted your comments to the approaching Judicial Committee for its for what?
I think. Why don't we just say it's in the Go Judicial Committee, and we meeting on Monday, and we invite you. I like the idea of including him. We invite you and your counsel to attend this meeting and discuss these concerns in, you know, for the purpose of working out a draft decision coming into place.
Or how about adding the following? We therefore, following standard procedure for changes to the code, have submitted your comments to the Codes and Judicial Committee, to the Codes and Judicial Committee of the University Assembly. We therefore, following the standard procedures for changes to the campus code of conduct, we have submitted your comments to the Codes and Judicial Committee of the to our Codes and Judicial Committee. How's that? Sorry.
Our what?
Codes and Judicial Committee. That's these guys there. Okay. And now I think we need a separate sentence, which recognizes that the university council is on that committee, and that the committee will be meeting, and it will expect.
But the university council has extended ex officio seat on this committee, and we invite. I don't know what people think about this, but I like the suggestion that we invite you and your counsel, for President Fortin himself, and, you know, you'll look directly. It's a big issue. We invite you and your counsel to attend our meeting on Monday and begin this conversation.
Can we add along with
wait a minute, hold, stop. Let's write this one down. Does everybody, somebody have that frame?
All I have is the... The UA Charter stipulates that, quote, the UA shall respond to any request from the President for information or reconsideration of any action, close quote. Thus, following standard procedures for changes to the campus code of conduct, we have submitted your comments to the Code and Judicial Committee, period.
Right. The University Council has a standing ex officio seat on this committee.
There's my big outstanding.
Has an ex officio seat on this committee. Okay?
Yeah.
And we invite you
and
the council
to attend the meeting on Monday. We already scheduled
to meeting on Monday to begin this conversation. You can participate in the conversation.
To participate in this reconsideration
process
of reconsideration.
Well,
because it said information or reconsideration of any action.
I would say to discuss your concerns with the goal of coming up with a new draft.
Would you speak to Tamara? She seems to have a hold of it. All right, would you read that last clause? And the council.
And the council is to sit in a scheduled CJC meeting on Monday to discuss the administration's concerns about the revised code. I think what you're discussing are the areas of remand or something. And that's what you want to know.
No, I think you could actually say the administration. Yeah, you could actually say the administration's request for revisions and reconsiderations.
Right.
No, but that's in his language, and we want to use that language.
But if we say to discuss the concerns in a way,
stop for a second. We need to put what I just concluded down.
Did you get that?
No.
Okay.
What I have is following standard procedures pertaining to the campus code of conduct. We have submitted your comments to our code and judicial committee. The university council has an ex officio seat on its committee, and we invite you and the council to participate in the scheduled CJC meeting on Monday to discuss the administration's request for revisions and reconsiderations regarding the advice.
Yes.
Do you want to put anything about the fact that it's the president's committee working group works, that the UA would be happy to receive their suggestions?
If we gave that out, if he feels that he can't come without his retinue,
what if the president continues with his working group without the UA participation? Don't we want to indicate that has to come back to the UA rather than reporting to the president? I mean, that's what the current resolution said. The whole idea was to make sure the president knew he's not supposed to be doing this on his own. He's supposed to come back to this. Just like any member of the community could address the UA.
What I think we could do is keep in the last resolve, or the second to the last, which is that the UA, we ask that the University Assembly will report the results, the CJC will report the results of its work to the UA no later than 15 March 2008. And then the President can, you want to take note of the working group before that?
Just as a political matter, wouldn't it be desirable to indicate that working group is not supposed to report to the President, it's supposed to report to the UA?
Kathleen.
What you might want to do is put a sentence in there saying that, while we respect, the UA recommendation that the CJC is not the president's working group, it's the best body because of their prior experience and knowledge to address the contentious legal case. And it's legal too. So that's basically saying quietly, we don't want you to the group, we want you to follow the usual process, and come right out and say that.
So that's going to keep coming to school, but we can hear that sentence about the standing.
All right. What's the matter?
He set up a student leader meeting from 4:30 to 5:30 this Monday. So President Sporton wouldn't be coming to the student meeting.
Uh-huh. Well, we can invite him.
Yeah, he's
letting you. Okay. So, excuse me. I think we've got until 6:30, according to the way things go. I do want to make sure we pass this. It's a 4:30, 6:30, right?
No, I thought it was 6.
Marty, I've got a class that started at 6.
All right. Well, look, we have to read this and then go. Tomorrow?
Yep.
All right.
No, we don't want her to lose all the work.
Would you please actually send it to Denise? Would you send it to Denise? Get or what's your email?
DSA29.
DSA29. All right.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it at that. I don't know what further you want commented on there.
I wanted to put the last two sentences in, that the CJC will report to the results of its work to the UA no later than 15 March, and the UA will consider and act on the committee's recommendation at its 26 March regular meeting and convey the results of its actions to the president, to you, in a timely manner. That's all from the current resolution. Yes.
Instead of saying in a timely manner, you might want to put something in there in a timely manner that we can have something about that we'll have sufficient time to discuss it before the board of trustees.
Well, that's why we have it there. I don't think we need to just say that what he will do.
Well, when you say an open ended in a timely manner, it sort of raises the question in his mind.
No, we're going to report to him the 26th of March. That's what we've already said that. All right, let's...
convey the results to you at that time.
At that time, all right, at that time. All right, can we have a vote on this, though, before everybody leaves?
Can we have...
All right. Elizabeth, have you left the proxies?
I've left the proxies today.
All right.
Okay.
All right, would you read us... I think they the whereases are all clear. Is that fair to say? So you need to read only the resolves. Yeah.
Starting from the UA Charter?
Yes, the UA Charter. No, yeah, that's fine. But that's of course.
The UA Charter stipulates that, quote, the UA shall respond to any request from the President for information or reconsideration of any action period, end quote. Thus, following standard procedures for changes to the campus code of conduct, we have submitted your comments to our code of judicial committee. The University Council has an ex officio seat on this committee, and we invite you and the Council to participate in the scheduled CJC meeting on Monday to discuss the administration's request for revisions and reconsiderations regarding the revised code. It is the UA's recommendation that the CJC, not the President's Working Group, is the best body to discuss further revisions to the code because of its prior experience and knowledge.
And then the final ones are this.
The UA
committee will report the results of its work to the CJC will report the results of its work to the UA no later than 15 March 2008. Of its work to the UA no later than 15 March 2008.
Yes, the CJC will report the results of its work to the UA no later than 15 March 2008.
Period. The UA will consider and act on the CJC's recommendations.
The UA will consider and act on the committee's recommendations at its 26th March 2008 regular meeting and convey the results of its actions to the President.
No, I think we changed that. The last time we met, we said to and convey the what was it, the word?
Results of its actions to the President at that time.
To you at that time.
But to you at that time, right.
Right.
I have only one suggestion, and that is in the first one, we invite you and the to the Codes and Judicial Committee meeting on Monday. And subsequent meetings.
How about, yes, we're letting you off easy by not mentioning that you have 30 days to answer.
Yes, let's definitely do that. And let's debate it, too, while we're at it.
Tell us if it's coming so we can move on.
Okay, so tomorrow you're going to send that on to Denise.
Yep.
And can we have a vote? Is there any debate? Any debate? All in favor, please.
I'm in favor.
Any opposed? Are there any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries unanimously. Congratulations, everyone. Now we have a meeting in 2 weeks, and that one actually is a good one.
Guys, if you have agenda items, remember to email me. If you They've already sent the agenda items. They will be on the agenda. Don't worry about resending them.
We need to table that.
It is tabled.
Yeah.
Randy just said it, though, because it's what he's saying. It was tabled.
Yes.
It's tabled.
Yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.